Alrighty, so I'd like to welcome you all to session number one of the Incomparable Expert Path to Power. I sat down and wrote out the outline for what I'm going to talk about, you know, in an hour or whatever, 2 hours, which wasn't difficult since I've been living this for the past like 10 years. So it's kind of what I'm going to share here has been a long time in the making, and not that I'm here to give you all the right answers. It's really not the premise at all, but more to share with you my experience of a journey that I've taken from really what is one end of the spectrum of this, you know, walking in one's power towards the other. I imagine there are examples of people who started with less, but it surely felt to me like I was pretty much starting from ground zero when it came to years banked of disempowering myself. So a couple quick things, simple rules of the road here. You will get the most out of this process if you are willing to do a few things. Number one, to be honest with yourself. We're not here. This is no contest. This is nothing that can be measured, actually. Your progress will be only hampered by your inability to simply be honest with yourself. So that's number one. Number two, to be gentle with yourself. That's not something that's talked about very often, especially in the alpha entrepreneurial kind of situation. However, I don't know that there's any redeeming quality that would come from being hard on yourself. So that's why I give you that little suggestion there. And finally, you cannot be a victim here and expect to get much out of this. Not that you will be judged if you choose to do that, but know that if you are in that space at the moment, this may not be the right time for you to embark on this work, and that's fine. These are all being recorded. You can go through this once, many times. Like I said, I've been living this for, you know, daily for the last 10 years. And before that, I had decades of practicing it the other way. So it's never too late. Next. So we have four sessions here. I'll tell you what they're going to cover in just a moment. But as we go, the last thing that I want to happen is for the problem that we are trying to work through, which is the giving of one's power away, for me to show up and be yet an extension of that problem. So no matter what I say about my experience, about what I've learned, about what I know to be true for me, it simply is not enough to override the authority that you have for you. So what follows is not necessarily the truth. It is most definitely at the moment my truth. So this is a new habit to develop if you're not used to it, is to stop devaluing that compass within you. Think critically about what I say. Filter it through your own experience. Take what you find valuable. Discard what you don't. At the moment, you might find certain things valuable that you will not find valuable a year from now, and vice versa. So you can expect that. Okay, we have four sessions. Session one, today we're going to talk about love, fear, and power. Session two, we're going to talk about what is called the shadow, right? It's going to be focused on what I call the radical acceptance of you. Session number three is going to focus on power through service, how we're going to redefine our priorities and the way or what we are going out to accomplish in our day-to-day life and business and work. And then finally, we're going to talk specifically about how to take everything we've learned and the work that we've done out into this world of what we do with clients or customers and provide practical ways to apply this. So just a couple housekeeping details. Depending on how you're listening, if you have a question, and I'll look up every now and again, if you're on a normal phone, you can hit star 2 and raise your hand. And when we get to the questions, I can unmute you to ask it. If you're online, you can submit a question there. Should be a question box on the page that I sent. Yeah, so that is that. Okay, so first of all, let me just make sure we're on the same page about what does it actually mean when I say to give your power away? What does that mean? To me, it means when you do that, that the central grounding point of your life experience moves from within you to outside of you. The first time I ever experienced this, I will never forget it because it is so indelibly marked on my being that I don't think at the current moment I possess the ability to transcend that memory. I was in first grade. We were in the school cafeteria. I think it's kind of funny. It brought back a memory. I think I was playing with trying to figure out how to bend spoons. You've seen that done most recently in the popular culture, probably in the Matrix movie, to bend a spoon. I don't know why I was focusing on this in first grade. I certainly knew nothing about it. At any rate, I broke the spoon in the middle of lunch one day in the cafeteria, and my friend looked at me and said, "I am going to go tell on you." And he went away. And I don't even know what happened after that because I disconnected from reality at that moment. I was filled with an intense heat, an amount of shame that I didn't even know was possible to feel at what, age 7, and fear, unlike anything I had experienced up to that moment. And we lived in a pretty disciplined household, right? So, when you did things out of line, like consequences were swift. This was on a completely different level. That is what giving your power away feels like. That's what it looks like. And as I grew up, I didn't get any better at it. I got more desensitized to that emotional hit. But slowly over time, I allowed it to control almost every aspect of my life. That's where it started for me, at least the first conscious memory I have of that. So when you're disconnected, when you allow this to happen, and that is what it is an allowing by consent. And if you can wrap your head around that, that is the beginning of the way through. But when you are disconnected, what ends up happening is you react to the world, right? When you are in your power, the world reacts to you. Even more so, react is no longer what you do. When you're giving your power away, you tend to react. When you develop the ability to hold it within you, despite what's happening, you move into a way of being that is more accurately described as response, right? Response is deliberate, response is conscious. React, unconscious. Someone wrote to me a few days before this, after signing up for the call, mentioning some of the stuff that I have spoken about in the past concerning mindset, and how helpful that was, and that's great. There's a difference to me between mindset as the way it's normally discussed, and the holding of one's power. So the mind, you could think of that as a focuser of energy, right? It is a directive force. It is not the force. Our power is the energy, right? And it is far deeper and more powerful than mind. I think I wrote a couple days ago in the client letter, and I don't think I was able to find who to attribute the quote to, but something about, the mind makes a wonderful servant and a terrible master. And the majority of people who go through life giving their power away, one of the symptoms is the mind has become the master, right? And it doesn't make a good one. So mindset work, to me, without the deeper work to collect yourself on an energetic level, is just not as effective. It's a little bit like having a light flashing, but not being hooked up properly to the battery, or not having a proper battery to power the light. So you can't really think your way to the other side of the journey that we're going to go on. I think if you could, certainly more people would, because our society, if nothing else, is built on the mind. It is all about mind, and there's a reason for that. It is because it is easy to control people when that is the situs or the that is the orientation from which they operate in the world, right? So we can't think ourselves through. This is more about being our way there, right? We're shifting how we are. So, how did we get into this mess? Why do we do this to ourselves? Obviously, we're taught by demonstration. I mean, think about your parents, their parents. There aren't many examples of people going through life fully living in their power. We're certainly trained by other people we know, like, and trust. We see it exhibited in friends. We're definitely programmed to act this way on purpose. One enlightening moment in my understanding of all this that I'm going to say here again to get it on the recording for if people listen to this over and over again is I've done a lot of work with a Celtic shaman over the years who I talk about now and again, who taught me a lot about all of this energy work, claiming one's power. I didn't even know that was a thing, right? We did a lot of work in other, not dimensions, but other states of consciousness. And so some of that practice involved being able to consciously manipulate the space that your brain is in. Your brain has a lot of different brainwave states. What I'm in right now, as I'm talking to you and I'm consciously thinking about what I'm about to say, I'm in the beta state. Like, my brainwaves are moving that way, right? And those brainwaves can speed up or slow down. You can go hyper beta and above. For the nature of the work that we're going to be doing, we're going the other way. Down below beta is alpha, then theta, then delta. Delta is basically, for lack of a better word, on the outside, you look dead, even though you're not. It is that slow. The reason I bring this up is in that work, a lot of the time is spent in the alpha brainwave state. So you do this every day when you're about to drift off to sleep, right before. That's kind of in the same universe, that alpha state. I remember distinctly one day I was reading a book. I think it was the work of Bruce Lipton, where he mentioned. I think I read some Jesuit quote that was something like, "Give me the child of the first 7 years, and I will give you the man," right? Basically, implying that what happens during those years drastically or has a huge impact on what that individual grows up to be like. And these quotes you hear, like, you kind of just take them at face value sometimes, or discount them immediately if they don't resonate with you. But I had these two worlds collide from various resources where it became clear to me that this alpha state that you get into light meditation, when people do yoga, sometimes, that it's just under like an active brain. Your subconscious is way more open. The work of Maxwell Maltz, psycho-cybernetics, like, he learned this. He was a plastic surgeon in the early mid 1900s and was trying to work with patients who he couldn't figure out why he would make them beautiful, but he couldn't fix. They would still think they were ugly. And that got him to working on the level of self-image and how is that controlled. And so he recommends people kind of get into that alpha state and begin to rewrite their movie. At any rate, in that brainwave state, a door opens kind of to your software, right? And you can, it's been programmed, and you can reprogram it. What I didn't know up until that moment was until you're about 7 years old, you exist in that alpha state all the time. So it's like those first 7 years of your life, you were open. Anything that went in kind of went in unchallenged. And that's why as we do this work, not like we're leaning on our childhood as some big explanation for every problem we have, but it is instructive to understand that we are biological machines and our equipment works in a specific way. And if we can learn how that works, not only can we understand and develop kind of an empathy for where we're at, be gentle and honest with ourselves about that, but we can also begin to to not feel so helpless and to exercise a little more control because it is actually within us to take control of more of our direction. So, all that to say, we got into this mess largely in part because we're programmed to be just like this, right? Ultimately, there's only one thing, and this is me talking, and plenty of other people, but and that thing that exists is love, right? That's all there really is. That is the spectrum, and everything in our world kind of exists somewhere on that. So you could have the complete presence of love, or you could have the complete absence of that, which we also refer to as fear, right? But that is the spectrum. And in as we go through these four sessions, we're starting very in intimate places on the inside, right? And then as we get this clarity and get some sort of a process a little more outlined, then we begin to take this understanding out into the world. So that's kind of the general flow of these sessions. So most everybody, if they're honest with themselves and admit it, like all we want is love, right? It's kind of why we do everything. The validation that you're chasing with the client, ultimately, it's not too many hops, skips, and jumps back to like understand that that's what we're looking for. Validation is a surface form of it, but that's what we want. So, in the simplest explanation, we give our power away because at some level, we think it's going to get us more of what we want. And our mind may yell at that and say, "That's not true. That's really stupid." These are the moments where, if that's what's happening for you right now, just take a second when you come back to this recording and really start checking in with yourself, and asking yourselves, "Well, is that really what I think?" So I didn't understand for a long time that fear was simply the absence of that which what I was looking for, right? And what happened was, ever since that spoon incident, I went through life largely in a fear soup every day. And that thing on the outside that I was looking for to make that go away, it always showed up in different ways. Maybe it was a teacher I wanted to please, maybe it was my parents, maybe it was someone at church, like it just didn't matter. They were all opportunities for me to give what I had, my power, in exchange for something that I wanted more, that I thought I was lacking, right? So when you do that, you basically end up walking around in a constant state of low level or even high level, in my case, fear, right? And worst of all, when you do that, that slowly over time molds you. It changes the way you think, it changes the way you speak, and it kind of does it from the outside in until eventually you wake up one day and you have no idea who you are, right? We usually do this sometime in our 20s, maybe 30s. And the reason that you don't know is because you willingly, again, this is by consent at some point, you willingly have allowed the world to manipulate your being so you don't even recognize it. And from that point, it's difficult to know what to do. Ultimately, all of this is kind of a lie that we've sold ourselves into. And what is that lie? It's that we are going out there searching for something from another, love, right? The lie is that we can get that from someone else. And the lie is that we're not able to give that to ourselves, right? So once you understand that key point, that we're chasing something that simply we're never going to find because it was always within us to give ourselves, right? Then you start to turn the corner to what could be a solution. So let's pause there for just 1 second, and we're going to go even deeper into the building blocks of everything, which is energy, right? I've talked a lot about stuff I've learned about how to first become aware of energy, then learn from it, then begin to control it, then to begin to use it to help me rather than to hurt me. So when we are talking about giving your power away, when we're talking about that client calling you and saying, "I can't believe you screwed up again. You are this just cannot continue." Where do you feel that? You feel you take that hit down in your solar plexus, right? That's where your power kind of lives. In the chakra system, it's your third chakra, solar plexus, right? So when I started my study with all this, one of the things my teacher said to me was, energy follows the breath, right? Power follows the breath. And I didn't know what any of this meant, and I certainly hadn't experienced it. So part of what I want to put on this presentation for you, and this is a new habit that you can start immediately and just work into your daily practice, is beginning to connect internally with this energy that I'm talking about. Like, it is you, right? And the way most of us go through life is we have this enormous energy source in our solar plexus area, and we are completely disconnected from that. And the energy that we feel, that buzzing, most of it occurs in people's minds, right? Like the monkey mind. Like, that's where most people, if you said, pay attention to how your energy is flowing, like, they'd probably start there because for most people, it's so loud up there, they can't notice anything else. So I'm just going to walk through a very short kind of energetic practice that you can try on your own. The first time you do it, you may or may not feel anything. The first time I did it, I did feel something, and it was kind of amazing. I think I was able to feel it because I was so far gone on the other end. My mind was so racing at 400 miles an hour all the time that when I gave myself even that simple experience of slowing it down for a minute, I was like, wow, there's a whole bunch of real life here that I've been ignoring all of this time. So this is very easy, right? So the first step is you're going to either sit, stand. It might actually be easier to feel this when you're standing up. And you're just going to begin by taking a few simple breaths in and out, right? You're shifting your awareness. Like, your awareness of this moment, that's all there is. I mean, it's kind of a cliche to say, like, be in the moment, but, like, really, your whole life, everything is right now. Like, that's it. That's all we have. And when you bring your awareness to that, you realize that your breath is there. And so the beginning part of this practice is simply bringing your awareness to that breath, making sure that breath is gentle, kind of continuous, right? You're not taking 5 seconds where nothing, where no air is moving. This is often what we do when we're stuck in our head. We realize we haven't taken a deep breath in a while. So stand there, breathe in and out a few times. And when you're ready, on one exhale, you're going to close your eyes and imagine, you could imagine it's like a silver, like silver mercury type substance going down through your feet, straight into the earth, right? And as you breathe, you're going to keep pushing that kind of stream of energy farther and farther down into the earth. Eventually, you're going to hit water. When it reaches the water, you're going to then begin with your inhales, imagining that energy flowing back up to you. It's going to come up through your feet if you're standing, through your body, through your solar plexus, out through the top of your head. And then it's going to go the other way, kind of like leaves on a tree. And so as you keep breathing, it may not happen the first time, but they're entirely possible that it will. What you've just done is basically connected an energetic circuit between you, your body, your source of your power, and the source of the power of what we're standing on, right? Which is an immense source of power, the earth. And as you do this, you're just going to breathe in, breathe out, and imagine that line of energy running straight through you, down into the ground, to the water, back up, out to the top, kind of like leaves on a tree. That is grounding and centering. And that's the point from which we're going to do a lot of this work. Because now you have, at least for this moment, come back, right? And you have kind of aligned your energetic self so that you're not spread out all over the place. So just try that, try it today, try it tomorrow, and just experiment with what that feels like. I can tell you what my experience is now. When I started this in, let's see, it would have been 7 or 8 years ago, I first experienced feeling what it felt like to have energy in my hands. I mean, Reiki people know about this and everything like that, but I didn't know anything. And so, as you get used to it, and like I said, power follows the breath. As you remember to breathe, you begin to become aware that, wow, the energy is going to flow around you or through you. It really is controlled by the power, the style of your breath, and you'll begin to notice this connection. And so I remember it was maybe the first week or two I was doing this. Soon I would start to feel my hands buzzing. And that happens to me now, particularly when I walk into like a chapel, right? Where there is a collection of human energy that's kind of has taken on a form of its own. Like I feel that in my hands. I wouldn't have noticed it 10 years ago. But that is the building block of everything, right? And so we're going to connect to that because it grounds us in a place we're not used to being, which is like here. And that's the base from which we do everything. So fool around with that and practice it. And you can let me know what your experience is. Okay, so a couple of things to keep in mind. These are new habits to also kind of put on the list of things to begin to shift this. Most of us will go out of our way to avoid unwanted emotions, especially fear. Like, I mean, I remember I used to be so bad that in a restaurant, if someone screwed up my order and they brought me the wrong food, like I would seriously have to consider if I was going to make a deal out of it because I wasn't even collected enough inside that I was okay with that level of confrontation. So I wanted to never have it happen. I would run from it every chance I got. And this makes you a slave. It's invisible, but it's effective, right? So instead of doing that, something new to begin to experiment with is rather than running from emotion, you begin to develop the ability to fully feel them as they come. I forget what book it was I was reading, but they described this practice as the only way to successfully maneuver life on this plane is to allow life to move through you with no resistance. That's basically what I'm saying. Rather than running from things, which actually means you're feeding things, you allow these emotions to come into you and you feel them fully. Fear, anger, whatever it is. You don't have to control them. You just are going to start owning them, right? So instead of running from fear, you just sit in it. We just accept it, right? Because it is. And one form of insanity is to have a problem with what is. And to the degree that you are able to release that resistance, a lot of good things can happen. So if you look around at a lot of the ancient traditions, right, that like it's a universal idea, like accept the moment, accept the now. And I got that for a long time, like on my in my head, but it's not, it didn't seem immediately empowering. Like, oh, I have no money, my electric's about to go off. How is it empowering for me to accept that? I didn't quite get it, right? And I had, quite a few years of trying to figure out this business thing. I was supposed to be a church musician, mind you. And then I went off in my own direction to pursue what I had spent my life hearing was evil and terrible and sinful and everything like that. So I had a lot of stuff to work through, and it caused some turbulence along the way. So I wasn't empowered by that idea of accepting the moment. One way to think about that, to shift that is empowering is acceptance is one way. If you decide that, okay, I don't know if I can do that. What I can do is I can take responsibility for this right now. Doesn't mean it's my fault. It means I'm going to own it, right? So think back to your childhood. Think when you did something that you knew you weren't supposed to do. You started getting that angst and fear of what was going to happen, like build up. And then at some point, hopefully, the issue got resolved and you felt this great relief. To me, that's what I feel when I fully, without exception, start taking responsibility for everything in my life. It's kind of funny. You would think it's scary, but for me, it was one of the biggest feelings of relief I've ever had. That's that feeling of relief, if you can remember that time from your childhood, that's what it does feel like to stand up, own everything, take full responsibility for it, for everything that is and is not in your life. What does that mean? That means things like you have no more secrets, right? So when someone looks in at your life, as our society is trained to do, we love to find out people's secrets. Not only that, but it makes us feel way much better about ourselves for a minute if we can just point our finger at somebody else's secrets. Look at the news. This is all we do. Because we are in such a painful state that that's the best we've got, is to make someone else worse. Makes us feel a little better. Well, when you shift this around, you lose the fear of things like that. Because no matter what someone's going to point to, you will look at that and say, yes, I own that. It is me. Let's move from here, right? So on one hand, it's an extra and it's kind of an act of extreme courage. Like you have to just decide to start this because there's no good time. It's probably not going to feel good before. On the other hand, it's the only door to freedom that I've ever discovered. So when most people start talking about taking responsibility for yourself, usually you think about or taking responsibility for what's in your life. Your mind first usually goes to terrible things, all the mistakes you made, transgressions, stuff we've done to other people, stuff we probably wouldn't do again if we had the chance, right? But that's only half of the coin. The other side of the coin is about taking responsibility for this issue of power that you're going to take out into the world, right? So, how does this all connect? One of the things that we're going to take responsibility for is giving ourself the thing that we seek most from everybody else, which is that love. If you own that, that is the beginning of a new life. Not only will you stick out like a sore thumb because you are in the extreme minority, but you will never again have a reason to give your power away because we do that in the many ways we do it, all for this very reason. And when you begin to take responsibility for fulfilling that yourself, things begin to shift. Now, one point of clarification here. You don't have to love yourself, right? That's not what I said. Frankly, for a lot of people, that's not possible at the moment they find themselves in. What is possible for virtually everyone is simply making the decision and commitment to say, loving myself is my responsibility and no one else's. That's totally different. And that's something that you have control over it. Okay? So it becomes your responsibility to give yourself what you need and what you want. So, if that's the case, what is the responsibility of those around you? What's the responsibility then of your family, your friends, your clients, whoever? What do you need from them? If you take the responsibility for providing that most important thing to you, what does that leave for everybody else? Well, it leaves them with no responsibility, which means you don't need anything from them. Surely there are things you will accept from them. You will accept kindness and affection, and certainly you will accept love from them, but you don't need it. And that single shift, which I think this, I mean, it's such a simple idea, right? But this is what turned my entire world around when I read it or put these pieces together. One of the places that I got many of the pieces was a book called The Presence Process, which I recommend over and over and over again. It is not for the faint of heart, but it is about developing present moment awareness, written by Michael Brown, a man that healed himself of, I forget what the name of his disease was. It was a physical, very painful situation. And he went into himself to take responsibility for finding his way through. Very profound. The process that he outlines is extremely transformational. I've been through it many times. It's not dogmatic or belief-oriented in any way. It's simply a doing and a being type of thing. But that was an important piece of the puzzle to really distill down what we're all searching for when we do this giving of the power, right? Okay, so a couple action items to work on through this week. Like I said, this was kind of like the, well, next week's fairly internal as well with talking about the shadow, which is that side of us that we've been told to deny or resist or downplay or ridicule or try to fix all of our lives. So that's kind of deep too. But these first two are more internal. The second two are more than the external manifestations of this internal process. So as you go through this week, try that energy exercise, the grounding and centering. You can do it any time. Like I talked through it there. It was kind of quick, but that still took, what, like 2 minutes maybe to talk through. So it'll take you a few minutes, and it should, to do that. Eventually, you'll be able to get yourself in the state that results from that in about 2 or 3 seconds. Like for me, it's one breath in, it's one breath out, and that visual imagery of those energy points extending from beyond me happen, and I feel that connection. It actually feels like a like you're plugging yourself into something, which is what you're doing. I mean, you're taking your electromagnetic field and you're projecting that deliberately through the power of your mind, because that's what mind does. It focuses energy. And you're connecting that with an energy field that's way bigger than yours. Get used to that. Go in front of the mirror, second item, and start getting used to what it feels like to actually offer love to yourself. This is probably one of the most foreign things that if you're dealing with this power issue that you'll ever experience. It's kind of like touching your eyeball, uncomfortable at first, right? Just try it, see what happens. It may be the best feeling you've ever felt. And to know that that is something that you are going to take full responsibility for overseeing for you, like I said, that's the key to the prison right there. That's where it begins. Since we're just getting started, most likely, as you go through your week, this next week, there are going to be times where you give your power away. I still do it. It's the habit that we all have on many different levels. As you get used to this energetic practice, as you get used to checking in with your breathing throughout the day. What am I doing with my breathing? Am I breathing? Like that simple check-in brings yourself back to now, right? You're going to start catching yourself. Oh, I just did that again. I just gave that away again. Or I was about to. Or I didn't do that because I'm afraid of this. And these things are going to start jumping out at you. And that's the first step. You know, I lived for years in a movie and I didn't realize it. I was so caught up in it. The script was my life. Then I realized, holy crap, I might be in a movie. And so I started watching myself, even though I was still playing the script. I said all my lines on time. I made everyone feel good. No confrontation, no resistance from me. I was the nice guy. Everything followed as it was supposed to be. Didn't create a lot of turbulence. Finally, I was like, okay, now I get it. Wow, this is really dysfunctional. Now let's begin changing the script. So that's how the process went for me. It may or may not go that way for you, but I imagine the first step is going to be an increased awareness of what you're doing or not doing. Now that maybe you're thinking about things in a slightly different way, or simply that you've taken the time to think about this at all and to address this. All right. Any questions so far about anything I've explained, recommended, suggested, or covered? Again, if you're on a normal phone, I think you hit star two. I will check the questions if you're online. Anybody and everybody, or it's fine if there's nobody. You can certainly ask me questions as we go via email, support@incomparableexpert.com. But really, just for these next 4 weeks, even if you just pick one thing that I talked about today, start doing that on a daily basis for a little while. See how the world, even with your simple shift, maybe in awareness of what you're currently doing or not doing, see how the world begins to react to that. Again, this is all energy at one level. So when our energy begins to shift, the way that the energy of the world responds shifts. I mean, it's like very scientific at one level. I remember one guy I used to read his books, listen to his stuff. He referred to human beings as energies on trajectories, right? He was trying to explain, I think, at one moment, why people have the same stuff, like the same cycles happen over and over and over again. And that was his simple explanation. You are an energy, a certain combination of energy on a trajectory. You're going a certain way. And as you interact with the energies around you, the people, the events, the places, you're emitting a consistent signal. And so they respond in a fairly consistent way. And that is the amount of control that you actually exercise over your reality, because you have the control, you have the ability to shift that, the signal that you're emitting. And you can feel this. You can feel when you're in the presence of someone who doesn't need you to like them, who doesn't need you to validate them, who doesn't need you to be okay with them, and doesn't even need you to know all these things. People can feel that. And with client work, which is where we're heading, or business work of any kind, it is immensely valuable. Not only that, it is extremely attractive because you have the gold, because you have finally figured out a way to be whole and to offer yourself something by taking responsibility for that love thing that they all crave. And at a level deeper than the conscious mind, they feel it. All right, last call for questions before we close up for today. Next week, I will send out a reminder email. The page to go to get the call information will be the same, so you could just bookmark that. Let me check questions one more time. How do you give love to yourself in front of that mirror? Go stand in front. This is a Michael Brown thing from his book. And really, the first time I did it, it makes you feel so weird, maybe uncomfortable. And that just kind of is a clue about the size of the problem we're dealing with. You go look yourself in the mirror and you say, "You are awesome," right? It's kind of like a Tony Robbins pep talk, but that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to, when that, whatever is generated by you saying that, like with full conviction, you're gonna produce a set of emotions in you that are gonna give you a very clear check-in about where you're at with things. For me, when I started that made me feel pretty nervous. Like, so I was a straight A student, won competitions, talented little Jason. Like, that's all I ever heard, right? And unfortunately, yeah, I am talented, but a lot of that was motivated by my fear of looking stupid. So the accomplishments were real. The motivation for the accomplishments, not so flattering, right? But I was in the habit, almost so invisible I didn't know it, of deflecting any love coming to me in the form of praise, accolade, even though that's what I said I wanted. Any time it came to me, it was deflected. I could not stand in that. I was that fragile that if someone came up to me and said, this often happened at the end of a church service, wow, the way you played made me cry. I would launch into some reaction. Again, it was a pre-programmed subconscious, I can't deal with this, love coming at me. I must deflect. So the mirror thing, when you go in there and even go to the point where you say something like, I love you, emotions are going to be triggered in you. And that is your chance to just feel that and be in that, right? And the whole Michael Brown presence process wasn't about feeling better. It was about getting better at feeling, right? Because he had discovered this was the way through. All right, any other questions about that? How many times have I worked through the presence process yourself? I've done it 2 complete times and 3, almost 3 times. And that book is, well, if it's not the right time for you, there's no way you will do it. I can just say that. And that's why I never push anyone into it, because I've actually tried that in an effort to help people, particularly friends. It meets with a lot of resistance because it takes you places that most people will not go ever for any reason. Because if they go there, they will shift and their real being will emerge, and the changes that will ripple through their reality, particularly with their current relationships, intimate relationships, family relationships, will shift to such a profound degree that they can't risk messing up that level of comfort and safety and security. As dysfunctional as it may or may not be, they can't go there. So if it's the right time for you, you will know it. But I often refer to that book as the single most profound thing that's ever come into my life. All right. Any other questions? Going once, going twice. Okay, very good. So thank you all for being here. Certainly there's going to be plenty of opportunity for questions, so if you can attend live, that's great, but I will also get recordings of all these out to you. And with that, I will see you next week at the same time. Take care. Bye-bye.